It's been great to be with you all the last couple of days. My wife and I have felt very welcomed and appreciate the conversations and even smiling faces with some that it was a little more difficult to have the conversations with, but we appreciate the warmness that we felt from you all. I wouldn't be surprised if a number of you all were comfortable agreeing with what I taught the last session, that following Jesus means becoming like Jesus and following his manner of life or following his example. I hope that I was able to help you kind of see some of the clearest ways that he calls us to follow his example. And it's not just the kind of simple things of being a nice person and trying not to cuss or drink and being a law-abiding citizen and going to church as much as you can, but the most specific the Bible gets on what it looks like to follow Jesus' manner of life could be summarized maybe by the word selflessness. When Jesus says, follow me, he means become like me, and that means laying down your life like Christ. I want to, tonight and in the morning, look at some of the other inherent meaning in the command follow, which is a meaning of direction, okay? It's not just a manner of life, but it's a direction of life. Like, come with me, we're going somewhere. The direction will kind of come in two parts. Tomorrow, we're going to finally look at, well, where is Christ leading us? To what is he calling us? And tonight we're going to look first at what might we leave behind. And it's impossible to travel in two directions at one time. I don't know if there's like a branch of science or maybe physics or something, that there's a rule. Is there like a name for that rule? You can't travel two directions at the same time or can't be in place two places at one time? Maybe there's a scientific term for that, a rule. Physics-y, yeah, or philosophical too, right? So Jesus saying follow me means a change in direction, or you're leaving one direction and you're going a new direction. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to look again at three specific areas, but this time three specific areas of life that we may be told to leave behind in order to follow Christ. Now, I want to tell you what's going to go down. Here's what's going to happen. I can kind of predict some of it, even beyond what I'm going to say. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to mention an area of life that Christ may call you to leave behind. And secondly, you're going to have a reaction to that. Maybe a strong reaction, maybe just a little reaction, but you're going to feel something when I say that. And if it's a strong reaction, the third thing that's going to happen is you're going to start in your mind maybe coming up with some justifications about why you don't, in fact, have to leave that particular thing behind. And then I'm going to do my best to look at a couple scriptures and say, well, you maybe do need to leave these things behind in order to follow Christ. Now, there's a key word that I've been using in here, and it's the word may or might. Does everyone understand what that word means? You might or you may have to leave these things behind. I don't like to use the word may because, and maybe sometimes tonight I won't, but when somebody says may, that leaves open the possibility of what? May not, yeah. And the problem is when we kind of present something, well, you may or may not have to do this difficult thing, then it's easy to kind of grasp onto the may not, and you come up with the justifications. Well, I may not have to do that. Somebody may have to do that, but I may not have to do that. And some of the hardest things I think that Jesus calls us to, we easily think to ourselves, well, that's maybe for another person. He says that generally, and some people are going to have to do that, but I may not have to do that. So I want to ask you all to, I want to suggest that the reaction that you have in saying you may have to leave behind in this area of life, the stronger your reaction or the more justifications you start coming up with in your mind about why you may not be called to leave these things behind, the more likely you maybe aren't following Christ in that particular area. The reactions that you feel kind of mean something and tell us a little bit of something. And the stronger you feel, well, I don't have to leave that behind in my life, and here's why, I can give you the reasons, then maybe the weaker our commitment in that particular area to follow Christ, because we hold that thing so dearly. I was talking to Mary Beth earlier about this, and she was saying, yeah, it might present an idol in our life when we're like, well, no, I don't have to give that up. So I want you to feel the intensity of whatever you're feeling when I mention these few different areas, and feel you're kind of grasping for the, well, here's why I don't have to do that, here's why I may not have to do that, and see instead if God's Spirit in you would open your heart to the possibility of the may. And don't let the may not be an excuse. The song we sang a couple songs ago, again, said, if this life I lose, I will follow you. That's a lot to leave behind, this life. So what made Jesus call us to leave behind when he says, follow me? If it's more than just becoming like Christ, but we're following him somewhere, what are we leaving behind? I found three very specific passages in the Gospels where the literal words follow me are accompanied by leaving something behind. So the last session I was talking about kind of the clearest places we see in Scripture about Jesus set up as our example for a manner of life, and this session it's the clearest places that I can find that Jesus uses the word follow me, and that's connected then to something that has to be left behind. So we have a short amount of time together. I just want to go to the most obvious places that I can find, and there's more to be said about all of it, but this is what I have prepared for you. So first of all, the very first thing, follow me, leave your career behind. In order to follow Jesus, you may have to change careers. Not somebody else. You. So feel the reaction, okay? Feel the maybe justification, some excuses, or, well, here's why I wouldn't have to do that. And just consider that for a moment, because those feelings may mean something. Some of you might not be in a career per se, but maybe you're younger and you're like thinking about, well, this is the direction that I want to head in life. And so that's valid too. God may call you, Jesus may call you to follow in a different direction. Or maybe maybe you're married and your spouse is on a particular career path, and so you're kind of together with them in that. Maybe you're even at the very end of a career and you're like, well, at this point, I don't have to change that. Jesus wouldn't ask me to change my career now. Follow me, leave your career behind. Would Jesus actually require that of me, of you? I'm convinced that he would and that he does. If you turn to Matthew 4, maybe you know where I'm going on this. Matthew 4, verse 18. Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. Matthew 4, starting in verse 18, says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Might Jesus call someone to leave their career to follow him? It's easy to see the emphasis in these couple of verses of Matthew as he tells of these events. I want to point out an emphasis here in these verses. So he sees the two brothers, Simon and Andrew. It says, casting a net into the sea. It describes what they're doing for a living. For they were fishermen, he says. There's a further emphasis on their career. They're fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to alter your career. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Not just immediately they followed him, but immediately they left their nets, Matthew emphasizes, and followed him. You see all the emphasis on kind of the career stuff that's being left behind. As a follower of Jesus, our new all of us, our new primary occupation is fishing for men and women. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Now, of course, I'm not saying that God can't use you in your current career or the career path that you're expecting to go down. But if your current career path does not lead to or lend itself to fishing for men, leave it behind. You're on the may side of things, that he may call you to do so. God expects you, whatever the financial result, whatever that means for the type of home that you would live in, whatever that does to your reputation or your honor, there's something more important now for a follower of Christ, and it's following in the direction that Jesus sets for us of fishing for men. Well, you think, well, I have to work for a living, and this is what I went to school for. I've been in this career for 30 years. I just can't change careers. I'd have to like go somewhere and start at the bottom. What am I supposed to do? Go start working at Pizza Hut and then work my way up in the management and, you know. If that's where you can best follow Christ, then yes, I think that'd be a really good way to honor Christ. I work full-time with North Hollywood Church as a pastor, and I also have a part-time job. Mary Beth and I both have part-time jobs. I work about 15 hours a week at a grungy band rehearsal studio just down the street from where we live. And I make $13 an hour moving like heavy sound equipment around, like guitar amps and whatever else, moving that around and cleaning out at the end of the day these beer-filled trash cans and getting into all my shoes and my clothes. And honestly, that wasn't the trajectory of my life 10 years ago, as I was explaining last night. I don't have to do this. But for me, I'm following Christ, and for me it meant to leave behind a successful career. That was the one that I thought, well, this will look good to everybody else, leave behind a successful career for an obedient career to where I feel like I can more efficiently, more effectively fish for men, my primary occupation. What about your family, and what about the bills, and what about our house, and what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? The Gentiles, people who don't know God, Matthew or Jesus says, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Follow me, leave your career behind. You may not have to, but you may, in order to follow Jesus. Okay, you ready for the second one? All right. Follow me. Leave your family behind. Wait, what? Leave your family behind. How many of you have family that's like really important to you? Like they mean a ton to you? Yeah, that's me. That's awesome. Some of you are probably like, no, you don't even know how much my family means to me. Like this is everything. How many of you have ever been at a crossroads where you either do what your family member suggests or what your family expects of you, or you do what God says? It's either your family's path or a path of obedience to the Lord. Have you all ever experienced one of those situations? A couple examples in my own life. When Mary Beth and I got engaged, we were told by a couple of family members, well, why don't you live together for a few years first and try it out and then decide if you want to get married. And we knew that wasn't the God-honoring decision, so we chose not to listen in that case. We have another family member that continually discourages us, from Mary Beth and I, from doing anything that seems remotely dangerous, even if it's for the sake of the gospel. And this is a professing believer. For example, going on a missions trip. Why in the world would you leave this great country and go somewhere else and put yourself in harm's way? That doesn't make any sense. He literally calls us stupid for doing such a thing. Why in the world would you do that? Mary Beth, in college, went to Russia for a few months, and that for this person, her family, it was just that was mind blowing. It was a missions trip. Like to us, we're like, well, this makes sense. There's people that need to hear about Jesus, and this is a place that we have an opportunity to go. So. Or how about like us moving to Los Angeles to start a church? That to some of our family members, especially the family members in the South, Los Angeles, Hollywood, that's the pit of hell almost for our family. And they would say, "Don't do that." We'd hear that. What? Why would you ever leave the safety of Tennessee? Or ministering to the poor and needy people? Well, those stay away from those people. You never know what's gonna happen there. That's not safe. Why would you do that? You know what? We have to obey God rather than obey men, even if that means people in our family. Now, we honor our family. We especially want to honor our parents. But God's direction, Jesus' direction of following him, takes precedence if there's a fork in the road. And following Jesus in these cases meant, in a sense, leaving family behind. Maybe you have a family business that you're expected to kind of be a part of and move into. Can you follow Jesus in that? If so, great. Or are you just going to follow your family's expectations in that? Maybe for some, maybe this is you, or you know people like this, leaving your family is actually even way more extreme. And it's even way more real to you that following Christ means leaving family behind. When we first moved to North Hollywood, we met, for whatever reason, the first kind of group of people that we met was a group of Muslims. And for them, we have especially one friend that we've been talking about with Christ for years now, and for her, coming to Christ, choosing to follow Christ, literally means my family is going to reject me, and we won't speak again after that. She's literally losing her family, leaving her family behind. And thus far, she said, that's not worth it to me. Following Jesus isn't worth it to lose my family. It's too shameful. It's too costly. Maybe you've experienced something similar or heard of those who have. We love our families. And the last thing we want to do is dishonor them. You think, well, would Christ really call me to leave my family behind? Well, if you're still in Matthew 4, let's look at the next couple of disciples he calls. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Might Jesus call somebody to leave their family to follow him? I don't know. Do you guys notice the emphasis in this round of calling of the disciples? He saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother. He didn't mention something about Andrew and Peter's dad. They're in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Matthew's kind of using a pattern as he's retelling these events, I think, to show different aspects of what it meant, the significance of following Jesus. In verse 18, we see Simon and Andrew, it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. So following Jesus might mean leaving that career behind. And then in these verses, in 21, these sons of Zebedee, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. It might mean leaving family behind. Well, you might think, kind of like we talked about this morning, maybe this is an isolated event. Maybe this is just meant for this particular situation, this particular person. Like, surely Jesus wouldn't require that of anybody else. It's a specific incident with no other precedent in the Bible, maybe. I want you to listen to some of Jesus' words, three different passages. If you're a family person, these verses are really tough, okay? I'm not denying that these are not easy to listen to. Matthew 10, verses 34 to 37. Do not think, Jesus says, that I have come to bring peace on earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, where might that sword land? Where's the division going to happen, Jesus? For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And just to be clear, he says, a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's a higher priority now than just your biological family when following Christ. And as horrifically painful as it might seem, and as unnatural as it might feel, sometimes following Jesus can mean leaving family behind. Matthew 8, verses 21 and 22, a disciple said to Jesus, Lord, let me first go bury my father before coming to follow you. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. It's his father, though. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. You can't go two directions at once. Jesus is like, either follow me, we've got somewhere to go, we've got something to do, or stick around and take care of your family business. Matthew 12, verse 46 through 50, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, Jesus, his mother, and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That seems so harsh. Like, how did Jesus' biological family feel about that, I wonder? But he's showing that we actually have a new direction in life, even a new priority family. We talk about this with our church sometimes as we talk about us being called the family of God. And as followers of Jesus, the new family that he calls us into are those who are doing the will of the Father. Now, hopefully, you have some biological family that are also a part of the family of God. That's wonderful when that's the case, right? I've got a number of believers in my family, and so they kind of sync up, and we're headed in the same direction. But for those in our biological families who are not followers of Christ, ultimately, they're not heading the same direction in life. They're not following Christ, so their desires are different than our desires. And if it's going to mean going one direction that the family's not going to go that doesn't believe, then that may be what Jesus calls us to. All right, follow me, leave your family behind. You may not have to, but you may. Thirdly, follow me, you ready? Follow me, leave your money behind, or your material possessions behind. Feel the burn of that one. Well, I may not have to give up my money, but you may. I just taught a several-week series on how God wants us to view material possessions and stewardship and that sort of thing at our church. And do you know how much the Bible has to say in favor of following money? Nothing. Nothing at all, yeah. But how much the Bible has to warn against pursuing money, it's all over the place, right? Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or God and worldly possessions. You can't follow Jesus and follow your pocketbook. They're not always going in the same direction. May Jesus call you to leave your money and your stuff. Matthew 19, verse 21 and 22. Jesus said, this is a familiar story to us, Jesus said to a really rich man, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor. Remember, these are just the places that we clearly see Jesus saying, follow me, and somebody's leaving something behind. Sell what you have, sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. There's the words. Jesus is saying, if you want to go this way with me, you can't stay here. Just leave this behind and follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this is a passage especially that we jump to really quickly and we start coming up with justifications. Well, yes, Jesus said this to this one rich guy because that was the condition of his heart, but he wouldn't necessarily say that of everybody. He may not call me to leave behind my material possessions. He may not call me to give up everything I own or sell my possessions and give to the poor. He may not do that. But he did. With this guy. Well, Jesus, you have to be reasonable, because if somebody actually did that, then they wouldn't have any money to pay their bills. And what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? But seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you're following Jesus, it's really not your concern how your needs will be met if you're following Christ. Jesus literally sent out the 12 saying, don't take anything with you. He can care for them and find people to care for them. So yes, following me may mean leaving your money behind, and it may mean that for you. Now, we're not going to get down into like the details of the application of this. I think you should explore the implications personally within yourself and talk to others about it. I just kind of want to get our hearts and our thoughts stirring on this idea of what Jesus may call us to leave behind. Now, with the final session in the morning, I hope you'll be here for that, I think it's going to become a little bit more clear of what we are being called to follow Jesus, and so then we can decide, oh yes, I will have to leave this behind, or I'll have to leave that behind. I think the application will start to flow out of what is said tomorrow. But I just want to ask you this. Don't start to make the excuses, or you're actually just revealing some things in your heart, potentially, about idols that we have. Because excuses don't work when Jesus says, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple or my follower. Does all that he has include career, family, money, a nest egg savings account? Luke, from a kind of different perspective than Matthew, tells what the fishermen left behind to follow Jesus. He says, when they had brought their boats to land after Jesus said, follow me, Luke recounts, they left everything and followed him. That's how he says it. And then later with another person, when Matthew, Levi, is called to follow Jesus, it says, leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Well, Jesus wouldn't ask me to leave everything, but he did with these people, so he might with us. Now, just to kind of wrap it up a little bit, I want to point something out, because it could come across as a major bummer. Oh, I'm going to follow Christ, well, I have to leave all this stuff behind. Because these are some good things, right? There's nothing wrong with our family. There's nothing wrong with material possessions. There's nothing wrong with a particular career. Like yesterday or this morning, these things that we may have to give up to walk like Christ in his same manner of life, maybe there's sin that we have to give up for that. Well, that's okay. I can at least kind of submit to that idea. But these are some good things maybe that Jesus would call me to leave behind. But when Jesus is recorded in these specific areas to say, follow me, it includes leaving even these reasonable good things. And so you might think to yourself, if Jesus expects me to leave fill in the blank, then I don't want to follow Jesus. That's too high of a price. And, you know, Jesus says a lot of hard things. And after one of his hardest teachings, we read about in John chapter 6, when Jesus was talking about just how intimate of a relationship that we have with him, and how he requires everything of us really to follow him, so much that we eat his body and drink of him, like these hard teachings. It says in John 6:66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You're getting crazy, Jesus. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Do you want to stop following because of the hard teaching? Do you want to go back to what I'm calling you to leave behind? And Simon Peter answered him, I love this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's saying, we willingly choose to follow you because we desire you and eternal life even more than what we're leaving behind. So forget that this is a bummer idea. Peter says in Mark 10, he says to Jesus, "We've left everything to follow you." And Jesus said, "Oh, poor Peter, I feel so bad that I've asked you to leave these things. I hope that it turns out that it was worth it for you." No. Peter says, "We've left everything." And Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, listen, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Yes, Peter, it's a good choice to leave everything to follow me. Because what's the return? Jesus says it's 100 times the family and stuff. Now, it's really cool. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus is saying this 100-fold that will be returned to them is for now in this time, he says. It seems, I think, to the best of my knowledge, what he's saying is when we come to Christ, when we follow Christ, we now have this new family. And yes, maybe you left your sister behind, but now in Christ we have this huge family of innumerable sisters. And we have not just, oh, we left our house behind and we left our career behind, but now we share in common with the rest of the family of God all of the bountiful resources that he provides for us here in this time. Well, what else in addition to all of that? He says, well, in the age to come and eternal life. So it's not, oh, poor us. Like, look at everything Jesus may call us to leave behind. Though it feels that way, though it feels difficult and it feels extreme, the return is more than we can imagine. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had, he left it behind, and he bought that one pearl. The value of the treasure and the one pearl far exceed anything that Christ might ask us to leave behind to follow him. Even our career, even our money, even our family. Following Jesus means leaving everything behind, not just because we have to, but because it's worth it to follow him and receive eternal life. So what? Just a couple of things to consider as we end here. To what extent does your career, or your projected career, or your family's career, hold you back from following Jesus? Again, I think this is going to come into a little bit more focus when we look tomorrow. Well, where are we following Jesus? To do what? But maybe just simply, like, maybe your career keeps you from being involved in church. Like, maybe you can't get together on Sundays or at different church gatherings. I have to challenge my church in this. Like, if your career is causing you to sin by neglecting the assembly with the believers, then leave that career, or at the least find a church that you can actually gather with them like Christ calls us to, just to use an example. Or to what extent does your family hold you back from following Jesus because of their expectations, whether it's through career or school or whatever it is? Or where does your stuff and your money ever get in the way? Man, Scripture teaches how easily that stuff can kind of obscure our thoughts and our direction in life. What must you leave behind? Just another way to look at it as you're kind of evaluating, are your biggest decisions in life driven by your career or the money or your family? And if so, maybe you're following those things and not following Jesus. So are you willing to leave those behind if Jesus would call you someplace different? Take just a moment and consider those things, and I'll pray. Father, there's so many good things in this life that you've created good and that we can enjoy. And so we thank you for those. We believe that all good things come from you. But we want to keep these temporary things that you've given us to enjoy in proper perspective and use what you've given us for your purposes and not abuse them for our own, and what society expects a good use of those things would be. So God, help us to have right priorities, right perspective on all that you've given us. We want to follow you, Christ, wherever that takes us, and for some that has meant or will mean big decisions in regards to career or family or possessions or other things. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us the boldness to take those steps or to continue to walk in those directions when maybe family or friends are calling us crazy, or maybe the cash flow isn't quite as good because of that decision. God, give us boldness and confidence to walk forward in following you, and help us to trust you that what you have for us is better, which is an abundant life and eternal life with you. Help us to trust you, help us to hope in these things, and to follow Jesus, I pray in his name. Amen.